Good morning. This is Sunday, December 24th, Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, everyone. Although I find it not a Merry Christmas so much as a peaceful Christmas. We are continuing our study of the nature of error. Today's book is The Foundation of Mysticism, Spiritual Healing Principles of the Infinite Way. And we are on Chapter 8, The Nature of Error. Let's just dive in. Oh, if you haven't had a quiet time, take one now and be still, so that you may be attuned to the consciousness which spoke these words. There is no exact dividing line in metaphysical healing between the mental and the spiritual, because you will find in the literature of healing work that the mental argument, the activity of the mind, enters into spiritual healing, as does spirit itself. Always remember that. There's two parts. There's the mental part, where you sit down and remind yourself of the truth you know. Maybe you've had an experience with take no thought, and so you remind yourself of that as you sit down. Quietly, you may contemplate a scripture. I come at a moment ye think not. Ye are the temple of the living God. Ye are the temple of God living. And so you go over that quietly, gently, in your contemplation, until you come to an end of that, and then you stand still. You await the gift of Christmas morning, the Spirit of God. And when it is upon you, well, the darkness dissolves, the same way the darkness dissolves when you turn on the light in the middle of the night in your bedroom or bathroom. All that darkness disappears. And we call that a healing. Oh, we've been healed. But actually, you haven't. You have seen more of reality appearing. Now, he says, as you come to the message of the infinite way, you hear the same term, spiritual healing. But we mean something far different than many of these other teachings, because the spiritual healing we are speaking about is a healing based on certain specific principles. Principles ascribed only to the infinite way. And you must learn these principles. If you wish to avail yourselves of healing through the infinite way principles, it is necessary that you understand the principles upon which this work is based, and not try to bring with you those principles which you may have learned in some other metaphysical teaching, because all you can do is bring confusion to yourself. So, when you get serious about this, you have to abandon everything you've learned up to this point. He says, this is definitely saying the infinite way healing principles differ from those of any other metaphysical teaching. If you have not discerned that, and if you have not discerned what the specific Infinite Way principles are, this is a good time to start. Truthfully, he says, I had no idea at all that our students weren't completely aware of the fact that the Infinite Way healing principles differed from others. Nor did I realize how many of our students do not know what these Infinite Way principles are. And it was through the unfoldment given to me after our return from Holland that I realized I was to spend these next months making this point clear. And so in 1959, he went pretty much around the world teaching the specific Infinite Way healing principles, because a lot of the students did not know them. And when he became aware of it, he knew what he had to do. All right, so on the next page, he says, you have it all through the Bible. Moses did some healing work. Elijah did some healing work. Jesus, of course, was the greatest master of healing. In very few cases do you learn from any of the biblical characters the principle or principles by which they healed. The Spirit of God had touched them, for as Jesus said, I am ordained to heal the sick. Even after that time and all through the years up to the present, there have been a few people who received the same healing gift of God. They did not necessarily know what the principle was, and therefore they were unable to teach it. They could do beautiful healing work, but they were unable to leave any students to carry on the work or to teach the work. Okay, so there are specific principles. Learn them and then practice them. Practice until you see some results. In Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy made great studies, great strides in spiritual understanding, and eventually came into a tremendous spiritual experience that included spiritual healing. Healing without mental argument. Healing without using the mind. Probably this was the first introduction to the world of that form of spiritual healing, which had a measure of principle behind it. The principle she taught was that God was the only cause and the only creator. Therefore, there could be no effect from any other cause. So the basis of her spiritual healing was the absolute allness, the omnipresence of God. Now, he says, my entrance into spiritual healing work was also through a spiritual experience, and at a time when I knew nothing of any principle of healing or any method of healing. So I was in the healing work for quite a long time without knowing how it happened or why above all people I should have been given the healing gift. Study, prayer, and revelation brought principles into my experience that had been glimpsed here and there but were never brought together as specific healing principles. It is for this reason we have a message of the Infinite Way with specific healing principles, and of course with a sufficient degree of success to enable this message to go around the world. All right, so we all have got the message by now. There are specific healing principles, and he's going to tell them to you in this chapter. But first he says, we have no organization, and as long as I sit on this platform, we never will have one. And I do hope that all those who follow me will have the courage never to permit anyone else to form one. And of course, that's exactly what happened. We have an organization in California calling itself the Infinite Way, which makes the recorded messages available, which I have made use of, and I'm very grateful for that. But it also has two practitioners. One is Joel's niece, I believe, and then another one that joined later. And those are the two practitioners of the Infinite Way. And I don't think they recognize any others. And they put on some classes sometimes, maybe once a year, once every couple of years. I'm not up on that. But the point is, they have organized the message. At one point, they forced Herb Fitch to stop calling himself Infinite Way. He had to drop that. And that's a shame, because he is Infinite Way. Anyway, so much for the politics. Joel here says, the very moment this becomes organized, and God forbid it ever does, be assured that you are within 20 years of losing the healing principles. And I guess they organized all this about 1990. So 20 years would be 2010. And now we're at 2024 in another week. You are within 20 years of losing the healing principles. It's up to you and to I to practice these, to keep these principles alive. So he says, the first of these principles has to do with the nature of God. This tape will therefore embrace these two principles. Spiritual healing, which means healing that results from an activity of God, cannot come to an individual unless he or she knows enough about the nature of God to be able to relax and not ask God for anything or expect anything from God beyond what God is already doing. Certainly, spiritual healing can only come when individuals no longer attempt to influence God on anyone's behalf, even their own. All of this you have on the other side of this tape. Now we will go into the second part. All right, so the first principle is God is being God. You can't influence him. I laugh at myself when I think about this. When I'm up in an airplane, I look out the window, if I have a window seat, and everything is so tiny. The roads look like, oh, they look like a pencil drawn across the paper. And the cars are tiny, and the people inside the cars even tinier. And then you look up toward the sky, past the clouds. Maybe you think of the universe and how small that little dot is inside that automobile. And how are you going to influence the infinite? Why, it's ridiculous. So, if you come to a place where you really understand that, you are able to relax and rest in the Word. Maybe you remind yourself, God's grace is my sufficiency, and there's a sufficiency of grace at all times present here. And so you relax. God is being God. Now we will go into the second part of this healing principle. If you know the first part, the second becomes the most important. This has to do with the subject we call the nature of error, or the nature of evil. In the infinite way, you do not use truth to overcome error. You do not expect God to heal disease, or to exchange lack for abundance. God, when you understand God, is already performing its functions. God is eternally bringing forth cattle on a thousand hills. We are going to learn that an abundance of everything has been provided, not only for today, but for all those who are to come in the future, and that the process is a continuous one. Therefore, this activity of God must be understood as a permanent dispensation, omnipresent here and now throughout all time, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That relieves the mental strain of trying to get in touch with God for some reason. The mind can relax in the realization God is, and all that God is now. Let us not waste time trying to reach God for any purpose, since God already is closer to us than breathing, nearer than hands and feet, and our own Master has assured us He knoweth your need before you do, and it is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When we sit back, relax, and rest in that assurance, we are bringing spiritual good, spiritual harmony into our experience, and that spiritual harmony appears in due order and in the form necessary to our experience. And I have found that time is a really interesting thing to look at, because the grace of God sometimes started 30 years ago, maybe 40 or 50 years ago. And when I needed a certain something or a certain someone, they show up. It shows up. It's amazing. It's fantastic. The omniscience that can bring such a thing together. The planning, so that it showed up at exactly the right moment when I needed it. This is grace. When you fully understand the message of the infinite way, you realize the Master is saying, in opening your consciousness to the presence of God, you will be fulfilled. And you know right well that God is spirit, so there is no use opening yourself to anything except that spirit, except that of a spiritual nature. You have already been told in the message not to take thought for what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or wherewithal ye shall be clothed. Then there is no conflict. In fact, that is the principle itself. And so here it is, the first half. When you sit quietly in peace, calmness, and assurance, realizing that God is forever pouring itself into visible manifestation, and all you're doing then is asking, Father, reveal thyself to me. Reveal thy grace. Thy grace is my sufficiency. As long as you are resting in the assurance that this is already being done, you're not asking God to do it. You're not begging God to start a program. You are relaxed. You are relaxed in the same way you would be if you wanted sunshine. You would go out of doors and just stretch yourself and find yourself flooded, bathed with sunshine. It's all here, and it's all present where you are, where I am, in your consciousness, closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. And in the realization of that, you begin to demonstrate it. This, I tell you, is spiritual living, and it leads to actual conscious contact or union with God. Once you understand the principle of God's omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, once you understand the principle of God as forever being, forever flowing, forever appearing, nothing is left except to relax in that grace. So that's the first half. Here's the second half. Now, in spiritual healing, you have to go a step further. And that is where the specific principles of the infinite way come into our expression, our activity, our manifestation, our demonstration. The churches use the word devil or Satan, which is the impersonal source of evil. Most metaphysical teachings have used mortal mind, the impersonal source of evil. The mistake has been to accept devil or Satan or mortal mind as a power in opposition to God, a power which God is always fighting and never defeats. The reason for the failure is that although devil or Satan is the impersonal source of all the evil that ever tempts man, it isn't a power. It never is more than a temptation, a suggestion, an appearance, which we have been taught to fall for, to fight, or to argue with. That's all that is resisting. And the greatest healer of all time says, resist not. When the Master came, he changed the entire aspect of religion. But unfortunately, the churches couldn't accept it. He brought to light the God of love, the God who never punishes, the God whom you can't implore to destroy your enemies. Not even when the Master himself was facing death did he ask God to destroy an enemy. Ah, no. He asked God to forgive the very enemy who was killing him. You see, the Hebrews didn't have the right concept of God. Jesus Christ came with it, and it couldn't be accepted. So from that day to this, we still have the world praying to God to destroy our enemies. We are praying to God to destroy our diseases, also our enemies. We are praying to God to destroy our sins, also our enemies. Now, when we come to metaphysical teachings, it was first revealed that this mortal mind was not power. It wasn't a power. And if you recognize that any form of evil was just an activity or a substance of that mortal mind, and then you dropped it, the healing would follow. But that vision was lost very quickly because the term mortal mind became exactly what it did to Paul, who called it carnal mind. Just as Paul fought carnal mind until it killed him, so did metaphysicians begin to fight mortal mind. They would protect themselves from it, walk on the other side of the street whenever they recognized it in some form. So to this day, whenever you find metaphysicians fighting mortal mind, warring and battling against it, trying to overcome it, or protecting themselves from it, you are witnessing metaphysicians who must fail. Their work is just as much a failure as the work of all metaphysicians who believe there is a specific mental cause for a specific physical disease. That is why some students who come to the Infinite Way do not realize that none of that plays a part in the principles through which we work, lose the opportunity to benefit by the principles that have been revealed to me and have been found to be successful. Now, take this next step with me. Regardless of the name or nature of the particular discord that confronts you, or your patients, or your students, or your family, whether it is some form of sin or disease, lack or limitation, remember, it has its basis in an impersonal source. Whether you call it carnal mind, mortal mind, devil, Satan, give it any name you like, as long as you understand it to be an impersonal source. You can call it universal hypnotism, the universal belief in two. You can call it an appearance. You can call it the belief in two powers. You can call it universal hypnotism, universal mesmerism. You can call it a mirage. You can call it a mental image. You can call it mental concepts. Whatever you call it, make sure you understand it to be an impersonal source. Then take the next step and realize that since God didn't create it, God didn't create that source, that impersonal source, then it has no cause. It has no substance. It has no activity. It has no law to uphold it. It has no avenue or channel of expression. In other words, it is a nothingness. Exactly what Hezekiah called it, the arm of flesh. This enables you to withdraw from the battle so that you do not fight it. Rather, you come into the Sermon on the Mount, resist not. Put up thy sword. The moment you can come into the presence of any form of evil with a relaxed mind, a mind that isn't going to just jump right up and start battling it and denying it, you are ready to see evil dissolve into its nothingness. So here's the way I read that now. The moment you can come into the presence of any form of evil with a relaxed mind, You are ready to see evil dissolve into its nothingness. Now, a relaxed mind is one that's resting in omnipresence. There remaineth a rest to those who practice these principles. But if you raise your mental sword and try to deny, to argue, to overcome, you're lost. The minute you try to think of a truth with which to meet it, you're lost. The way to approach any and every form of evil is with the realization that it is causeless, an appearance from an impersonal source that has no power. Then you will find that you are working with this healing principle of the infinite way. So these are the specific principles in the last 2 pages. 2 pages in a paragraph. Study. Practice. Make this bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. Make this your consciousness so that you meet any form of error with a relaxed mind, with an awareness. Because awareness melts concepts. We do not have a truth that overcomes errors. We do not have a God that will reform you or heal you. We do not have a God that will support you or supply you. The God of the infinite way is already maintaining and sustaining your spiritual perfection. All you have to do is to awaken from the belief in two powers of good and evil, and begin to honor God by respecting the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other God. Thou shalt acknowledge no other power. It's only in honoring the first commandment that you can begin to perceive the healing principle of the infinite way. Now, what did he just say there? Let's look at it. Only in honoring the first commandment. Only in knowing there's one power, God. No other law, no other cause, no other creator. If you're practicing that, you can begin to perceive the healing principle of the infinite way. You can see it work. So he says, there is not now and has never been an individual on the face of the globe who wasn't the pure manifestation of God. But you can probably look out your window and see someone that is not manifesting God. Or you can drive into town, look down the alley and see people with a bottle wrapped in a brown paper bag leaning against the wall and drinking. Or maybe you live in one of these sanctuary cities and you can see poor people that are huddled against the cold and probably starving, at least very, very hungry. So he says, in your spiritual living, in your healing work, and in being healed yourself, you must never malpractice another. So when you look out your window or look out your car windshield and you see these people, you're malpracticing because you're seeing what's not there. It is a direct malpractice to see in another anything other than God. That is their true identity, even when to human sense they're not manifesting it, even when they don't want to manifest it. Nevertheless, as far as you are concerned, God is their true identity. Now, even when you behold forms of error appearing as human beings, in the form of sickness or sin or lack, always remember this. In order to be helpful, and this is expected of you whether or not they ask for help, recognize the erroneous nature of what they're manifesting. Know that its seat is not in them, but in the impersonal mortal mind, impersonal carnal mind, impersonal devil, impersonal Satan, any word you like, as long as you recognize it to be in an impersonal source, having nothing whatsoever to do with the individual manifesting it at any particular moment. So, all of these homeless people that you see are manifesting an impersonal world belief. Yet behind that is the very living presence of God. And when you see it, it will manifest to you. It will manifest itself to you. There's no more benefit to being in the infinite way than there is to being in any other teaching. The only benefit there is from the infinite way is the practice you make of its principles. So you can't just glide on through life. You can't coast. We always coast downhill. We never coast uphill. So you have got to take these principles and put them to use. Practice them in your life. Practice them in your trip to town. Practice, practice, practice. One thing alone counts, both in spiritual living and in spiritual healing, and that is, what truth do you know, and how true is that truth? And how steadfast are you in its application? That's all there is to it. You must practice. When you are healed by another, by a practitioner or a teacher, remember you have only had a temporary benefit from the developed consciousness of another person. You will still have to develop your own consciousness in order to make health a permanent dispensation and in order that you may help others. No one in all this world ever receives a spiritual blessing or benefit for their own sake. Never. Any spiritual blessing that is ever given to us by the grace of God is for the benefit it will be to this universe. Of those to whom much is given, much will be expected and demanded. Nobody has ever given the grace of God and then given permission to go up on a mountain and hide somewhere with it. No. No. The more realization we have, the more activity is given to us, through which we put to work our understanding and our development for the benefit of this world. hence these talks. God's love is given to the entire world, to saint and sinner, to the just and the unjust. And so it is that when we are given one grain of spiritual understanding or grace, it is only that we might be a transparency or an instrument through which it must be given to others. It doesn't mean that we should have another generation of practitioners sitting in their offices. It means that everyone who receives God's grace should be prepared to help, in a spiritual way, all those who come within the range of their consciousness. If you are one who watches the news, you should be praying for those you see on the battlefront, whether one side or the other. You should be knowing the truth right there, especially if you've seen the truth. Now, if you've been studying these teachings and have not found the answers to your problems, you can see a probable reason in just this one tape. Somewhere you have not understood the nature of God, and therefore have been wasting a lot of time trying to influence God. Or you have not correctly understood the nature of error. You have been battling error, fighting it, trying to overcome it, or trying to use the power of God against it. And that won't work. That won't work. You won't find it easy, but you must bring yourself to a place in consciousness where you can agree that the Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want. You must actually know and understand that is the way, and you don't have to pray, plead, implore, or affirm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's it, period. At some time, you must come to the consciousness that He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And even if I do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Okay, so he says, you won't find it easy, but you must practice these principles if you want to be free from your troubles, or if you want to free others. You have to be able to look at the world, and even if you see Judas Iscariot, say, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. Even if you are looking at a disease, you have to be able to do as Jesus did. What is hindering you? What did hinder you? What power is there in that disease? Rise, pick up your bed, and walk. You have to be able to see the nothingness, the non-power of that which is appearing, says, is terrifying. In other words, it is a complete change of consciousness. Oh, is that all? Yes, that's all. It is a surrendering of the Adam man who believes in two powers, power of good and the power of evil, who has to earn his living by the sweat of his brow, or has to get healed the hard way. The true understanding of that first Adam was that God alone is power, that whatever is appearing as sin, disease, death, lack, limitation, any of these, and the infinite forms and varieties of them, belongs in that impersonal source. Since it isn't God created or God ordained, there is no law of God to support it, and you walk away from it. As you persist in this teaching, as you persist in the practice of this teaching, you will develop that state of consciousness which is included in the Master's two commandments. Love the Lord thy God to such an extent that you don't believe God ever empowered evil. Then take the next step. Realize that your neighbor is the full and complete embodiment of the Christ, has only the Christ qualities, and any other appearance belongs to that impersonal source, devil or carnal mind, which we are continuously nothingizing. This, you see, is the entire story of our healing work. So we are supposed to be continuously nothingizing. All right, so in that chapter, we have the spiritual healing principles, the infinite ways specific healing principles. And so in our meditation, we practice them. We sit down, and Joel said he liked to start his meditations with the word God. And you can do that. God. And immediately comes to my mind omnipresence. Right here is God harmony. Right here is God synchronicity. Right here, where I am, is God peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, giveth I unto you. Right here is God supply. Every good and perfect gift is flowing into manifestation. Right here is God's eternal companionship. Have you lost a friend? Fear not. I am here, and I will manifest as a new friend. Always the same source, which is God. Have you lost your avenue of supply? Take no thought. I am here. God's supply is right here, right now. What do I have in my consciousness that I can share? I have whatever God has. I can share service. I can share prayers. I can share meditations. I can share truth. And I can share money. The best thing that I can share is the living presence of God. And in my meditation, I feel its movement, and I share it with you. In this contemplation, slowly, slowly, the mind slows down. It stops. God is right here, right now, and all that God has is mine. So what is this picture of lack, limitation? Well, we know it comes from an impersonal source. I like universal hypnotism. I like mental concepts. I like mirage. I like appearance. This is an appearance. This is an appearance. I'm looking at all that God has right here, right now, and seeing a misperceived appearance. And who does it belong to? Me? No. It's impersonal, without a person. It's just floating. I can latch onto it, or I can let it go. Let it go by. And so it's impersonal. Who created it? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this was not made by God. Therefore, it has no God power. There's no spiritual law behind it. There's nothing behind it. It's a nothingness. No cause whatsoever, and therefore no effect. Just an image. Get thee hence. Get thee behind me. Be still and know. Right here in the midst of me, I am God. So in this way, we have a contemplation that brings us to the stillness, brings us to an area of consciousness in which we can be still. And in the stillness, in the silence, I come as a thief in the night. I come as Santa Claus. That is, I come as something you know not of, bringing gifts. I don't mean I bring a motorcycle or a washing machine or a microwave or a heavy blanket. I mean I bring harmony. Well, I bring myself harmony, peace, joy, love, synchronicity, every good and perfect gift. God appearing. And in that way, I am like Santa Claus, because you don't see me coming. I remember when I was a child, I think I've told you this before, my bedroom had a door that looked into part of the living room. I could see the Christmas tree, and I could see my mother on the couch. And I determined I was going to stay awake and catch her putting the presents out, because how could there be such a thing as Santa? So, I watched, and I blinked for a minute and opened my eyes, and all the presents were out, and she was in her bedroom, in her bed. How could that happen? I was watching so attentively. Well, that's the experience. When you are totally silent, when you stand stock still at the center of your consciousness, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I give you the gifts appearing from my manifestation. So it's really has a Santa Claus feeling to it, in that I come in a way ye know not of. And I love it. I love it. Always as harmony, peace, always as synchronicity, always as abundance, always as supply, always as grace, always as companionship, always as love. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Christmas filled with peace, filled with wonder. Wow, how could that happen? This had to be years in the planning. Look at this, just exactly on time. And so we come into the experience of divine mind, divine consciousness, and see some of its inner workings. And we are satisfied with that likeness. This is a wonderful path. I'm so glad you're on it with me. Thank you, everyone, for the gifts, the cards, the donations. You have made it just a full Christmas. If this was a stocking hanging by the fireplace, it would be full to overflowing. And you did that. And the Father did that through you. You have filled my stocking to overflowing. Thank you. I love you. I know your Father manifesting. Thank you, Father. Thy grace is my abundant living. Have a wonder-filled Christmas and the start of a joyful new year. And I will be back with you sometime after that. Blessings, too many to count.